In college, I ran a 5K with a friend of mine who was also something of a sports rival of mine. And so we were always competing about various things. And so we both decided to enter the 5K. Of course, we were not in the category of winning the 5K, but we were definitely in the category of trying to beat each other. And so we both set out determined to win our own little race. I pulled ahead early on and put some distance between us, and I pretty much thought that I had won. But as we got nearer to the finish line, I heard this heavy breathing coming up behind me, and I saw the silhouette of his hat coming at me. And so at the very end, we both ended up taking off and sprinting to the end. Except when we got there, we realized it wasn't the end. After sprinting to that point, that guy standing there said, "You have to turn here and go another half a mile." And so the race turned into a crawl to the finish line as we had both spent all of our energy. Turns out, this is a reality for lots of things in our lives. We think that we have accomplished everything. We think that we have done it all. And then we find out there's more still. We find out that we have to draw up whatever other energy we have and continue the race. There are times in our lives where we finish the work that is set before us, only to have to start it all up again. It begins to weigh on us at times, and we can feel like there is no strength left. Struggles might pile onto struggles. Responsibilities overlap. This is how St. Paul describes this reality in today's second reading. We groan within ourselves as we await our adoption. This is a time when that wording of St. Paul seems to resonate, this groaning. He even tells us that creation itself groans as we tend to feel the weight of this groaning throughout our world right now. St. Paul says that this creation groans as in labor pains, work that is being done as we await the fruit that we hope for. Now imagine for many people it's like this 5K that I ran in. We expect to be finished at a certain place to find out that it is not. This is an important thing for us to consider in light of our faith, because if we don't stop and consider it, we will run out of energy. And in terms of faith, this can cause people to lose their faith entirely. Because if we have the wrong notion about where the finish line is, and then we get there to find out there's more, we might blame God. And this is a struggle that people of all ages have felt. In the face of the weight of things that we carry, where is God? Why is God not fixing this? And so people struggle. Part of the way we respond to that struggle is that we consider, really, what is the goal? What is the end of the race? If I end up praying in the face of my struggles along the lines of, "God, get me through this," and then it drags on longer than we expected, if I begin to doubt and wonder, where is God in the middle of all this? Why is this still happening? Then probably I haven't been listening to the Word of God. Because throughout the Scriptures, God makes it clear that the finish line for us is heaven. And everything short of heaven is something that we must persevere through. We know the passage where Jesus says, "If you wish to be my follower, take up your cross and follow me." He tells us time and time again, run the race to the end. And yet we struggle. Now, even though the race of life does have many twists and turns, When we really understand where the finish line is, and we understand God who is accompanying us throughout the race, then we can celebrate better the moments of rest that do come. The moments where God says, "Let me refresh you." Where God says, "I will help carry the burden." But God does not say, "The burden ends here." He says, "We continue on. We run the race to the end," which is becoming adopted fully as sons and daughters. In other words, the life of heaven that we were made for. Now, to understand a little bit more this idea of the rest along the way, the ways that God does strengthen us toward the actual finish, let's take a look at the image that Jesus uses in today's gospel. The story of these planting of seeds. And so it tells us that the sower goes out to sow, casting seed across the ground. It lands in all different kinds of soil. And then when it bears fruit, it's because it has landed in good soil. And that bearing fruit is something that we can hold on to and enjoy. We can see the fruit of our labor. We get to take a moment and rest in the triumph of our effort. But think about this idea of a sower in terms of a real farmer. A farmer puts a lot of effort into cultivating the soil, into nurturing the seed so that it can bear fruit. And when the harvest comes, he is able to rest and take in all of the fruit that has been born. But then what happens? He gets ready for the next year. He starts over all again. The fruit has been gained because of this time of effort. And there's still more fruit. And so if you're ever around a farmer, they don't rest long before they begin to prepare the soil for what will come the next year. They understand that the race is not finished when they reach that point. But there is more to go. I have a nephew who loved his first day of kindergarten, but was very upset when mom and dad woke him up the next day and said, "You have to keep going back again." This mentality is something that we have to deal with because it's a reality that we face. We persevere. We think that we have accomplished it. And then we gear up to continue. So part of getting ourselves into the mindset of God is to stop for a minute and reflect. Ask yourself, what do you expect? What do you see as the finish line? How consciously do we see heaven as the finish line? Because the more clearly we recognize that that's the place that we are headed, that's the real goal, the more we can allow God to provide strength as the race continues. The more we can take our moments of rest, the more we can triumph when fruit is born, but that we see that the journey continues. When St. Paul says, we groan as we await adoption, he says this means the redemption of our bodies. This is salvation. This is what we were created for. God's promise is that he will be our strength and he will lead us through the whole race. And so when we find ourselves caught up in the weight that we are carrying, it is at that time that we call out to the Lord. This is repeated over and over again in the Gospels as countless people came to Jesus with the weight of their burdens and he says, "Let me help you." But then he also says, "And I forgive your sins." Because connecting the strength he gives to freeing them from the burden of the sins is a way of pointing them toward the journey that continues. When paradise was lost in Eden, the road became long and difficult. Jesus came precisely because we were lost. He came precisely because we could not make it to the end on our own. And so the promise of God is that He does not leave us abandoned. He does not leave us wandering forever in the desert. He brings us back to the promised land. He bears fruit in our lives. Every time we come here for Mass, it is a chance for us to be refreshed, a chance to be strengthened by God, to go back into the world, back into our lives, but with the grace of God that we rely on. Our moments of refreshment are moments of God's grace. But as St. Paul holds up for us this image, this groaning that goes on in our lives, we acknowledge our need for the strength that only God can give. And we allow God here in this place, in this celebration, to nourish us, to refresh us, to put us back on the course. Because the real finish line is worth all our effort.